Blog Talk Radio. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll suggest that everyone grab your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, highlighters, your Bible, most important, study concordance, all those good things that you would need for a nice, good study. As always, I'm going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day. Thank you, Yahushua, for leading and guiding us and protecting us throughout the course of this week. We thank you, Father, for putting on our hearts and putting in our minds the wonders of your word, the strength of your truth, the joy of your existence. Father, we thank you for giving us another opportunity to learn, to experience your word this week. We thank you for the lessons and the blessings, and we also thank you for those new people that you've allowed us to come across. And we hope and we left a good impression on them, giving them an opportunity to see the light of Yahushua. Father, we thank you for your tender mercies and your loving kindness. We thank you for that healing spirit that you sent to each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, for the joy and the happiness that you brought to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for letting us know that you do hear us and you do care for us, whether we acknowledge you and whether we not acknowledge you. For you are who you are, and you're by yourself. There's no one greater than you, O Father. And it's us who need to acknowledge who you are and be about your business. Just as the example of Yahushua did, he did as you said, and he left that example for us to follow. May we dig deep and do the same. May we continue to allow the light of Yahushua that dwells within us, that spirit that he sent back to us and dwelt with us and caused us to be just like him, obedient unto death. Thank you, Father, once again for bringing us to this Sabbath day to hear your words and hear your truth. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat shalom again. I'm Yara'al of Beth Yahweh Congregation, and we're going to do another session of Can It Be That Simple? And one of the things that we're going to talk about, we're going to, you know, go back on some things that I'm learning, you know, because saying things are so simple, but, you know, it's not as simple as we claim it is, but it is. And what I'm talking about is, you know, when you get corrected, I'm going to go back to that, you know, when you get corrected, as the scriptures say, you know, boom, you're supposed to jump out there. You're supposed to use the word. You're supposed to stand firm in it. And that's one of the things that I've been experiencing. But before I get into that, I'm going to, you know, just reiterate what we're going through right now. We just come out of the Feast of Dedication, where we have said that we're going to dedicate ourselves to the Most High, preparing for, you know, coming of the new year, and to be, you know, ready to accept that sacrifice. you know, ready to acknowledge what Yahushua has done for us. But we also have to acknowledge on a day-to-day basis, not just when the season come around, but on a day-to-day, constantly utilizing that word to make us anew, make us afresh. And that's one of the things that, you know, and, you know, really is resonating with me right now. And before this lesson, before the class, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, my early stages of walking in the ways of the Most High, acknowledging Yahushua as my Lord and Savior, and then, you know, later down the line, understanding that who the Father is. But in the beginning stages, it was rather, you know, I'm going to say, you know, it was kind of easy to, you know, change my, I'm going to say my physical ways of doing things. Like I used to eat pork, you know, my favorite sandwich back in the day was a ham and cheese, you know, with a little mustard on it, you know, bam. But for me to get rid of that ham and cheese, you know, it was easy, you know. You know, it took me a little longer to get rid of bacon, you know, with that, you know, get that bacon sandwich, bacon, eggs, and cheese with that extra grease, you know, it was just a good sandwich, you know. But it took me a little long to get rid of the bacon. But, you know, but I say all that to say when we're trying to change our ways, it's easy sometimes to do that physical stuff, you know, change how you dress and change, you know, the physical, that outward appearance. Sometimes it's easy to change that outward appearance. You know, you go through your journey with the Most High, constantly looking at all the outward stuff you can do, you know. And you get to a point where, you know, hey, the outward stuff is easy. Hey, the outward stuff is easy. But when you start to concentrate on that inner man, that interchange. See, that's where the rubber hits the road and you really have to really buckle down. Because, you know, when you're changing your inner man or your inner being, see, the only person that knows that is the Father. You know, later down the line, someone will notice a little difference in you as an individual. But if they're constantly changing themselves, they're just going to see you as who you are. You know, but that's the way I'm, you know, coming to understand that, you know, when you're constantly thinking you're changing, and you're not, you know, you know, you've been lying to yourself for so long. And one of the things that, you know, like I said, came to my mind was, you know, me consciously changing my thinking. You know, and it was, I had my ups and my downs, but I still see, you know, hey, I'm putting forth a conscious effort. Title of this particular lesson is called "The Struggle Is Real." And sometimes we have to acknowledge that we do struggle, you know. We have to acknowledge that we struggle. And struggling is okay. I mean, that's just the human factor. That's the human factor. We have to understand that we will struggle. And if we pay attention to, you know, as we, you know, sometimes I get in conversations with my coworkers and we tend to talk about this millennial generation. And we tend to talk about how, you know, they try to do things without any rules. They want to get paid without doing any work, you know. But one conversation I was having, someone said that, you know, but the problem came from their parents entitling them and not giving them any kind of responsibilities. You know, that's not every parent, you know, because what we're learning over the years, everybody still has opportunity to make a decision in regards to what they choose to do. But one of the things that when I'm learning or in these conversations, you realize that it's okay to struggle. You know, like where I'm at now in life, you know, I didn't always live like I'm living now. I mean, I had my earlier struggles. I have my struggles now, but the struggles that I have now are not like the struggles that I had then, you know. So one of the things that comes to mind is I'm going to use this by a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Disraeli. And the quote is, "I am prepared for the worst, but hope for the best." And, you know, you probably heard that before. And that's what we do as individuals. You know, we prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Or sometimes we look at life through rose-colored glasses or rose-tinted glasses. And that's one of those idioms. And the definition for this particular idiom is an optimistic perception of something, a positive opinion, seeing something in a positive way, often thinking of it as a better than it actually is, thinking that the thing's better than it actually is. You know, and sometimes we do that to ourselves. We try to make a bad situation good, when in essence the situation is bad. But we tell ourselves that it's a good situation and not looking at it for what it is. So if we're looking at ourselves as if we are good, and in essence, we're not. We're lying to ourselves. And I'm just, you know, just looking at myself, and I've been lying to myself. Been lying to myself, and realizing that struggling to maintain or do the right thing is work. Just like, you know, like they say when you go to the gym, you know, they say, it becomes your routine after you have done it at least 21 days, 21 days straight. And that's in succession. That's not like you do one day, you know, this week, and then 2 weeks later you do 3 days, and then 4 weeks later, you know. No, it's like a constant, you know, as they say, create a new routine. And if you create a new routine in doing something, the more you do it, the more you do it, the easier it becomes, the easier it becomes, the easier it becomes. And that's, you know, and that's one of the things that we as individuals have to strive to do. Try to do the right thing, because that's what we're striving to do, the right thing, and to be righteous. So we're going to start off and got written down. But before I go there, I just, you know, tell you, you know, about my week. So, you know, I was a little sick, so I took a couple of days off, get myself well, and, you know, rest, you know, got some rest. Then it was time for me to go back to work. And one of the things I'm kind of struggling, you know, because when you work for unrighteous people, And you want righteousness you're striving to do right. You're working for unrighteous people. Unrighteous people don't even care about your righteousness. Unrighteous people don't even care if you're doing a good job. Unrighteous people just want you to show up. So it came down to me having to go back to work. So I was not feeling going back to work. But I went. And then in the process of going to work, I was just thinking about the taskmaster. I said, man, I got to go in here and work for these taskmasters. So the first thing came to my mind was, you know, when the Hebrews was in Israel, how they had taskmasters. And one of the things that came to mind was the taskmasters was just one step above the slave, you know. So it was like another slave was actually beating the slaves, you know. He was able to, you know, I use this analogy to myself, you know, where I might have got a wing tip to eat, he was getting a thigh, you know, And he felt as though he was much better than me. Why? Because he was getting a thigh and I'm getting a wing tip. And one of the things that, you know, just looking at, you know, while I was going to work, I was like, man, these people, these taskmasters, you know, they doing overtime, they getting, you know, but they get to go to sleep in the office after they do their extra 8 hours. They get to go to sleep. Whereas me, I don't get to go to sleep after doing my extra 8 hours, you know, when I have to report back in the morning. And this is what I'm talking about, doing the 16 hours and then having to report in the morning, where they do a 16 hours and they have to report in the morning, but they go in their little office and they get their little extra 4 hours of sleep, you know, or they get their little nap in, where I got to be woke. And if I fall asleep, then you're going to have somebody that's telling me or emailing them, who are the taskmasters, that I fell asleep. When they know why I fell asleep, but they're going to say, hey, you know you were supposed to be up. You should have walked around, should have got some water, should have asked for a break, you know, they're those types of things. But so I was real pissed off, real pissed. So then I had an opportunity to sit down and got on a computer, and I looked up taskmasters, and one of the things came to my mind was slave owners. And I was wondering, did the black slave owners treat slaves just like the European slave owners? And, yep, they sure did, you know. So it's like, you know, understanding that we as individuals must have supervision. Make a long story short, because that's the only thing an overseer was. Overseer was a form of supervision to ensure that those that were under them did their work. And that's what happens now. Got to make sure that we have supervision. Why? Because in the beginning, when we didn't have supervision, we goofed up. So we're going to start in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. I repeat, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And it reads, Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate. Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. See, so right here, the first command, the first order of business that was given to man was not to eat of this tree of good and evil. Then he gave stipulations, if you eat of it, you will surely die. So he was clear in his explanation on what man must do. Man was by himself. Man, you know, as we know, you know, when you go through the narrative, then he was by himself. Then, you know, the animals was with him. He was still by himself. Why? Because he didn't have a mate for him. So eventually he had, you know, a mate was created for him, or a mate came from him. And it was the two of them. Clear cut direction. As we know in the narrative, fell short. Didn't listen to the voice. From here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And this is just dealing with how the struggle. The struggle is real. Why? Because the struggle came from way back when. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was continually only evil. So from here, what we learn, our mind, our thinking is evil. Thinking about what the Father thinks about. We had this talk before, but that's where we're supposed to be striving to be. We'll be striving to be righteous like the Father, righteous like Yahushua. But we have to acknowledge the struggle. We have to acknowledge the struggle. Because if we don't acknowledge the struggle, we're going to be running around with these rose-colored glasses on and thinking that everything is right, having this great opinion of ourselves, and we're falling short. We're constantly falling down that slippery slope. I think I read in the scriptures last week in regards to every thought of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Father judges the heart. He judges the heart. He knows what your motivation is. He knows it. And he just told us again, it's evil. And we have to understand that that's our base nature. But if we acknowledge Yahushua and what he has done for us and strive to listen to his words, because that's one of the problems of humanity, fail to listen to the words that came out of Yahweh's mouth. Fail to listen to him. He sent representatives down, tell them what to do. We had some who did it, some who didn't do it, and then we as humans, we don't want to accept the consequences. We don't want to accept the consequences. Just like when I was corrected and being doing wrong, the first thing I tried to do was justify. Tried to come up with a scenario for what I was doing. Come to find out, boom, I was straight wrong. I was wrong. And so in the process of trying to be right and doing the right thing, I slip up. But it's starting to come easier and easier and easier. Why? Because I have the willing heart to do the right thing. Sometimes we don't have a willing heart to do the right thing. And when we don't have a willing heart to do the right thing, we have to deal with the struggle. We have to deal with the struggle. And we think that we're going to bypass the struggle, but the struggle is going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come when you least expect it. So from here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 22 to 25. And it reads, "For I didn't speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing I commanded them, saying, listen to my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people, all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you." There you go again, telling us to listen to his voice. Because in the beginning, we ain't listen to his voice. We ain't listen to him. As a result, humanity fell short. So because he understands humanity's shortcomings, he sends his prophets, his teachers, his officers to speak to his people. And he wants us to listen. Like this is talking about, and remember I started off talking about doing stuff. Doing stuff. So when we're dealing with the burnt offerings and sacrifices and things like of that nature, this is Israel doing stuff to cover up the wrongness that they were doing. If you're striving to do the right thing and listening, you don't have to do any burnt offerings because you're doing the right thing. It's easier said than done, but the more you do the right thing, the easier it is for you. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And it reads a little, "Fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nonetheless, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't finish reading the previous scripture. Hold on. We'll go back to Jeremiah. I'm going to read verse 24. I said because I was going to read the 25, but I think I stopped 24. Reading verse 24. I'm going to start over again. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 22. I'm reading to 24. It says, "For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. I commanded them, saying, listen to my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not listen or turn their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forward." See, when we don't listen, when we don't incline our ear to hear, we're just going to go backwards. Why? Because we're going to be stumbling in our own silliness, in our own folly, in our own unrighteousness. When he encourages us to choose life, when he encourages us to do right. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And you probably already read it now, but I'm going to read it again. Well, I'm going to read it. "He went forward a little and on his face and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nonetheless, not what I desire, but what you desire." As we know, this is when Yahushua was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the weight of the sin was getting ready to be put on him. And he was about to lay his life down. He was getting ready to go through the struggles. And he went to the Father. He was like, "Whew, is it another way? I don't know if I'm ready. But let your will be done." And go ahead and I'm a grinning bass. And sometimes that's what we have to do. When we trying to get right, to do right, we got to grin and bash. We can't shuck and jive. We can't shuck and jive. Because the sooner we acknowledge our shortcoming, we acknowledge that struggle, the struggle becomes easier. But I think recently we learned about the term fasting. And when we learned about fasting, the word that it was used in regards to it was affliction. And so, you know, we recently, you know, did a fast. And, you know, the first day, you know, I did it. You know, it was kind of rough. It was kind of rough because I hadn't, you know, fasted in a while. You know, but then, you know, when the next week came, it became easier. Easier and easier. Why? Because now my mind was focused on this particular day. This is what I got going on. This is what I got going on. This is what's going down. And then it was interesting that on the day that I was, you know, going to do the fast, I wasn't even really pressed about, you know, as, you know, gorging myself and making sure that I had plenty of fluids and plenty of food and all this kind of stuff. Essence, when you put too much of anything in you, it's going to come out. Why? Because you got too much in you. So, you know, I wasn't even focusing on feeding my flesh. I was focusing on feeding my mind and understanding why I was fast, why I was afflicting body. You see, and when we understand why we're serving the Most High, it becomes easier. The laws, statutes, and judgments, they're not burdens. They're not problems for us. To talk about His word is not a hardship for us. Why? Because we realize that this is what our life is all about. The struggle, the learning, the experiencing with Yahushua, the experiencing with the Father, the experiencing with our brothers and sisters who are going through the same thing. The ones that can give us encouragement to keep on going. Why? Because they're going through the same similar thing, trying to get themselves right with the Father. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. We've heard this one before. And it says, "Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has caused him to suffer. When you make his soul, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he will see his offsprings. He will prolong his days, and Yahweh's pleasure will prosper in his hand." See, we have to see ourselves as pleasing the Most High when we afflict our soul, when we afflict our body, elevate our mind to be where He is, where we too can see the big picture. From here, we're going to go to Romans. We're going to read verses 14 to 20. And this is Brother Paul. And we've read this scripture before, but then, you know, I'm going a little further today. And it reads, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am fleshly, sold under sin. For I do not understand what I am doing. For I do not practice what I desire to do, but what I hate, that I do. But if what I don't desire, that I do, I consent to the law that is good. So now it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwell in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good. For desire is present with me, but I do not find it doing what is good. For the good which I desire, I do not do. But the evil which I do not desire, that I practice. But if what I do not desire, that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwells in me." We have to acknowledge and understand that some of the things that's in us need to be gotten out of us. Some of the things that we have going on with us, we keep them around. We're getting righteousness. We're getting His law. We're getting His word. We're getting His truth. Being filled with it. But we have to get rid of that stuff that's going to cause that Holy Spirit to leave us. Because if we don't get rid of those things that we need to get rid of and focus more on striving to do the righteous things, then we just fall short to sin. And sin is lawlessness. And sin cannot inherit the kingdom. So if sin is in you, you won't make it. So that's why another place that Paul said, we have to die daily. We have to purge that old man. And the Father does it by allowing us to go through our struggles. He brings these things to your mind so that you can consciously work on them, get rid of them. He brings that tear to your mind and lets you know that it's ready to be cut away. It's ready to be thrown in the fire because now it's become a hindrance to you. And when it becomes a hindrance to you, it slows your progress up as far as that righteousness is concerned. And you're sitting back and you're wondering, why? He tells us, to look in that mirror and compare yourself with my word. And if you fall short, then get it right. From here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. And it reads, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with Abba through our Master, Yahushua, through whom we also have our access, our faith, into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of Abba. Not only this, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces perseverance, and perseverance proves proven character, and proven character hope point us, because Abba's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I think we read a couple of weeks ago in regards to how Yahushua breathed that on us. He breathed that on us. He talks to us about it. So when his servants talk to you about his word, about his righteousness, about his goodness, that Holy Spirit is being moved upon you. Take resonance within you to help you change your desire and change your practices. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 15. Verse 9 to 11, and it reads, even as the Father has loved me, also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and remained in his love. I have spoken these things to you that my joy may remain in you, your joy may be made full. Understanding this, family, friends, and listening audience, we will struggle, but we can overcome those struggles with the joy we have in Yahushua. Because we know that he sits on the right hand of the Father right now. We know that he's preparing a place for us. How do we know? He told us. He told us. And so we have hope that we got that deluxe apartment in the sky. You know, because he didn't already told us where we're going to be. So family, embrace those struggles. Embrace the struggles. And understand that he loves you. He loves you. And as a family, I think we learned this a couple of weeks ago in regards to knitting together. I think I forgot what scripture that was. It was talking about being knitted together. You know, think about a patchwork, that patch, what was it called, a patchwork quilt? Where you got all these different pieces of fabric. See, we have to start knitting our pieces to one another so that we can become a solid quilt, a solid covering. You know, and this solid covering is for what? It's for humanity, because that's what we're doing. The thing that we're doing is to save humanity. We're going through the struggle now. So that when our time to cover humanity comes, we can use our experience to help them out. Because we can say we've been there, done that. This is how you get through this. Been through that struggle. This is how you get through that. And when you think of a patchwork quilt, all those different patches of fabric have different characteristics, different levels of beauty. And when you have it all together, it tells one story. And that story is, Yahushua came down to this world, humbled himself, laid his life down for us. Let's be frank, died for us, knowing he didn't have to, knowing he could have just started all over again. He talked about that one time in the scriptures when he was talking to Moses. I said, wipe them out. Start over with you, Moses. Moses like, no. What would the world think of you? That you brought them out here just to kill them? To start all over? So, could have started all over, but he didn't. So family, friends, listening audience, that was my struggle this week. Understanding, this is another point that came up. Understanding that our life, things that happen in our life, happens because we are blessed. We are blessed because the Father has orchestrated our life to go in a certain manner. And we have meaning certain choices, to be in alignment with his blessings and his goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He tells us so often how blessed we are. He shows us in the scriptures how blessed we are. He shows us how stubborn we are, how stiff-necked we are. But he continues to show us his love. Continues. Because he has something for us. And he wants to give it to us. But we have to also want it. And if we want it, we'll do what's necessary to get it. We will deal with the afflictions that come. Because it's the afflictions eventually will bring that joy to us. So family and friends, that was my last scripture. I thank you all for enjoying or taking the time to listen to my journey that I went through this week. And my trying to get right with the Father. Trying to get right with my brother. Trying to get right in my home. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to be a vessel for you on this Sabbath day. Thank you for allowing me to bring peace to the hearts of those who are listening. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Father, for Yahushua and the example that he has shown. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for friends and family. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Father, for choosing us to stand firm in your word and to uplift the name of Yahushua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Yisrael with peace. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. May you all have a peaceful slumber. And may the Father continue to strengthen you in his ways and in his truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Shabbat shalom.
Count my blessings to the really high. What a life I've been seeing, we could really die. It be looking good in pictures after we be crying. Make me think of how it feels to crucify Messiah. Yes, you are from Adonai, and he been Elohim. David, sing a song for me like 51. A 23 and the one that I've been said to be.
Foreign language, what you're talking don't make sense to me. Heart beating, I've been praying for a steady one. Registration, I've been pinning as a ready one. I've been thinking that the last boss already called. And I've been thinking in the last day, amen. Then back to one.
Got my blessings to the really high.
What a life.
I've been seeing we could really die. You've been looking good in pictures after we be crying.
It made me think of how it feels. We can call him, yes, you walk him out of now.
Been
David, sing a song
with me to 51.
And I've been turning into something.
I've been fit to be.
You talk my language when you're talking, don't listen to me.
Open my eyes.
They're really high. My advice, find a place to pray and vocalize. Get with others who speak knowledge and can simplify. Find a cover, bigger brother who can empathize. Real life, I have you holding yourself in the rain. In the cold, 1% left on your mobile phone. Thinking death is all that's left for those who stay too slow. Doors locked on every church, no place for man to go. Oh no.
Got my blessings to the really high.
What a life.
I've been seeing we could really die.
Yeah, I've been looking good in pictures
after we be crying.
It made me think of how it feels. We can call you, yes, you are from out of
town.
You've been David,
singing a song.
I've been turning into song. It's on my language, what you're talking don't listen to me. Open my eyes.
Selfless.